You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Tampa Bay Rays with MLB.com's Rays beat reporter, Bill Chastain. Bill, your team's made an awful lot of news this winter, and they continue to do so even now that we're here in January. They made a move that I think had been anticipated, probably with dread by fans, for quite a long time as they moved Ben Zobrist, a guy who's been a really core part of what's been going on for a long time there. What was it that finally convinced them that the time was right to pull the trigger on a Zobrist trade?
I think it mostly was the what-if chance that he got off to a bad start. They weren't doing well, maybe. What happens then? Then you've got a guy, he wouldn't have the same value he has right now. He's probably at as good a value as he was going to have. The only thing probably could happen was his value would go down once the season started. And based on what they got in return and what they will, have for the future, it just looked like a perfect storm to facilitate that to happen finally.
I saw one reporter, maybe it was a tweet, that suggested that part of that deal was, and it looks that way in retrospect as Escobar got flipped, was not that the A's were particularly hungry to add Yunel Escobar, but that, in fact, part of the deal in order to get Zobrist was for the Rays to take Escobar. Is that an accurate way of looking at it in your understanding?
Definitely. And, I mean, I think when Rays fans look at the deal, they should also think about that in terms of that the Escobar that they had the first year was not the Escobar they had in the second year, and they were married to him for two more years. So, I think that was, and who knows, Escobar could very well go out to Washington and look like he did in 2013, but it looked like whether he was disenchanted with the Rays, whether he just had a bad year, I don't know, but it looked like he checked out last year, and I think getting rid of him was probably a good signal for the clubhouse as well as for the overall benefit of the team.
So, in the immediate term, where does that leave the Rays' middle infield for 2015? Who's their second baseman and who's their shortstop?
Well, I think it's Cabrera at shortstop. And then you're going to have, Logan Forsythe, Nick Franklin, and Tim Beckham at second. And all those guys, I would look at Beckham and Franklin at shortstop as well. I actually saw Beckham yesterday, and he looks great. He had hurt his knee last year, and of course, for those who don't remember, he was the number one pick of the 2008 draft. He looks in great shape. A lot of the guys with the Rays were talking about his mind's in the right place, and how you can actually tell if somebody's been putting in the work. He just kind of seemed to have a glow about him. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him really work himself in there for some playing time. And then you've got your corners. So, I think Cabrera is a pretty solid addition at shortstop when you're getting rid of your shortstop.
Cabrera, as you and I think a lot of people noted, will be making basically what Zobrist makes in 2015. In dealing Escobar, they do clear up a little more payroll space. Now, this club said going into the winter, they made no secret that the payroll was going to be a little lower in 15 than it was in 14. But is there now flexibility to spend a little more on another piece or two, or are they basically done with additions?
You know what? That's a hard call to say. I know, if you looked at who they might trade or who they might sign, I was thinking, they still might trade DeJesus, but he also looks like he could be their option as a leadoff hitter against right-handed pitching. But you look at what they have in the field, and save for maybe finding a big bopper, and I don't think you're going to find him such an animal for the kind of money they have left. I don't really see anything they need in the field except for maybe a backup catcher if they're not going to go with Kurt Casale. I don't think John Jaso is going to get a lot of reps at catcher. They're a little bit, he had the concussion problem last year, and he has been cleared, but I don't think they're making catching a priority for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if they carry three catchers if you're including Jaso. And on that same line, whether or not they found another catcher with that extra money you're talking about in theory, that could be a question as well.
Any likelihood they still do anything to the bullpen?
You know, they're obviously they're starting the season without having Jake McGee, even though he's sounds like he's not going to be lost that long. In the past, they've kind of gone and found a you know the veteran guy that's you know Jim Hickey can work his magic with a little bit, and they signed him to a minor league deal, invite him to camp, and they seem to have had good you know had some success doing that. So that's about the only thing I could see them do. I mean, they've already you know they brought in Jepson, and they think they can get something out of Ernesto Friere. So you know those are all back of the end guys if they're doing well, and of course. If Balfour ends up being what they initially thought he was, that's going to be a bonus. But, you know, he obviously had a bad year last year, but he finished strong in September. So I don't think they're looking too bad bullpen-wise.
This club obviously has undergone a really pretty radical reconstruction over the last, really going back 7 months now, 6 or 7 months. One guy who is apparently there for a long time is Evan Longoria. What do you think his take is as he sees? Is he in a position to sort of be understanding that this is going to happen sometimes, or is there any worry that maybe he's going to be a little frustrated or disappointed over how all this has gone down over the last several months?
Well, I can't speak for him, but I know he's seen that happen before. I mean, he saw it going into the 2011 season, and this is just the oddest of organizations because it's like they almost seem to do better when they, you know, tighten their belts and go with the lower payroll. You know, they had the magical 162 in 2011 following, you know, what was arguably their best team, which was 2010 on paper, even though they didn't advance in the playoffs. But, you know, so he's seen it before. He understands what they're doing. So, and in talking to all the players, they're pretty excited about the team they have, even contrary to what the fans think.
What do you make of this offense? I mean, because that's really – I don't think anybody's really doubting the rotation. There's a lot of talent there. There's maybe even a decent amount of depth. When you look at what this offense is now overall and the additions and subtractions and the changes, when you look at the 2015 Rays offense, what do you see?
Well, you got to kind of look at it in two ways. All right, first off, you know, last year's offense scored 612 runs. And the team gave up 625. So, as they are prone to say, they like about a 200 or 300 run differential, whether or not it's you score more runs or prevent more. So, part of the problem in that last year was the fact that that differential didn't get as good a boost at the early part of the season, in large part because they had lost Cobb, Matt Moore, and Hellickson. So, the offensive deficiencies were, I think, more under the microscope because they weren't getting as much on the preventative side. So they get back to that preventative side, and what looks like a dormant offense might look a little more potent, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It's an interesting topic because, as you note, they are not. And as you wrote today, they didn't dismantle an offense that scored 1,000 runs. So there's a little bit of thought that just some bounce backs and some sort of reasonable hopefulness, even with the guys that have removed, maybe it's not. Maybe it is a similar offense. It does seem like it's sort of an interesting question as to are the additions internal just from a Longoria bouncing back and things like that.
And that is a big part of it. And, you know, the funny thing is some of the guys that they got rid of, I think, could go somewhere else and thrive. And, I've always wondered what might happen if Matt Joyce was thrown in a lineup and just, you know, they told him you had a spot every day. Same thing with Sean Rodriguez. But under the Rays system, it just wasn't working out. And I think if you keep, you know, it's like that old definition of insanity, you know, keep doing the same thing over and over. And, you know, they had those guys for a while and it just didn't happen. So, you know, you need to make change when, you know, sooner or later if you're just not getting the results you want. And, you know, not blaming those two guys in particular. I'm just pointing out I think they could go somewhere else and do well. But it just wasn't working with the Rays.
All right. Well, Bill Chastain, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.